So what Alyssa led today in worship, I really felt like it was really God. So today I really want to just remind you of what the series is about. The series is about the thought that God has written a book about you, about your life, the plan he has for you. And that book is good, right? So we find the scripture we've been talking about. And I think about, so Christine and I, you know, 25, married. We went out Tuesday night, had a great time. But like, you know, like when I think back, and I've said this a few times already, when I think back to when we started and the kind of the picture that God gave me of our life together, and sort of we walked through some good times and some bad times and some challenging times as a family. But when I could see God, the picture that he showed me in the beginning, I could just see him carrying it out. And as, you know, as we diverted from the plan and then we readjusted to the plan and we just kept walking toward God. And we've seen God be so faithful in our life throughout the years. I mean, we're just so blessed. And God has done so many good things for us. But this is what David said in Psalm 139, verse 13 to 18. He said, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I cannot even count them. They outnumber the grain of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed in your book." Think about the care. Think about the thought. Think about all that. Like, sometimes we are overwhelmed. I don't know. Like, I have a lot of people in my world, right? I'm like the Facebook guy that doesn't make new friends. Anybody like that? I try and limit my Facebook friends. Like, I could have 3,000 or 4,000 friends, but I just limit it to the people I actually like. No, the people that are actually in my world, the people that I actually have some kind of, like, a relationship, a real relationship with, not just, you know, something just fake, you know, like I'm that person. And when I see all the things going on in their life and I'm like trying to remember, next time I see them, I got to ask them about that. And I got to say this. And you know what I mean? There's so many things that go on and I get overwhelmed by it. But God, he doesn't get overwhelmed. He knows what's going on in your life. He has a plan for you. He's always working. You know, like I said this before, but Christine and I, we were driving back from South Carolina one time and she decided GPS probably didn't know what it was doing, and so she wanted to take us a different way. And we went a different way. And the GPS yelled at us for an hour, like, right, turn, turn, do a U-turn, do a U-turn, readjusting, recalibrating, right? And sometimes our life with God is like that because God has a perfect plan for our life, and we start going our own way, doing our own thing, and God's saying, turn around, repent. Do it different. Go another way. And then we just keep going. And it doesn't disqualify us, but God then just recalibrates and starts. Because in Jeremiah 29, he said, "I know the plans that I have for you." God doesn't have he doesn't run out because you made a mistake. Just because you think you married the wrong person or that you took the wrong job or you moved to the wrong place, God has not given up on you. God has a plan for your good, and he's working it out in your life. Here's the thing, though. And so when we walk this life, how many of you have found that there's been times in your life that were so dark that except for the relationships you had, you might not have made it through? Anybody? You can put up your hand. So quite a few, right? Relationships are important. We sang this morning of the relationships with God, that our relationship with God, that we didn't deserve it, but we got it, and that God doesn't give up on us. All you parents and teenagers, Christine was just saying, now I know what happened. Our kids are looking for a coin in their room because it tore up the room, right? But But, oh, God's looking for the kids in the room. Okay, there we go. But like, God is invested in you. God won't give up on you. God cares about you. God is there. And one of the most, I think one of the foundational principles that God taught the church through Abraham in the beginning was, Abraham, I have blessed you so that you could be a blessing. That's a really important scripture, because a lot of people put up their hands today and said, except for the relationships that I'm in, except for the people in my life, I might not have made it through. And sometimes we always rely on the person and the relationship that we're in to carry us through, but we're not willing to go further and be a blessing to others and let the relationship that we're in carry them through. Because we're blessed to be a blessing. Our heart is a church. Our dream, our vision, is to build relationships that build God's kingdom. Build a relationship with God. Authentically love God. Have a relationship with Him. Authentically love each other so the world can see that God sent His Son. And then authentically love the people of this world so that they can find their way to Christ. I've been in so many relationships throughout the year that had no value to me at all. No value. They were actually a pain in the neck, a lot of them. It was like another thing to do. And I'm just being honest here. I make a point out of meeting people so I can lead them to Christ. And over the years, probably 10 of those kind of relationships have led to someone giving their heart to Jesus and serving God. It's hard work. It's challenging. And sometimes we get so fixated on our own self and our own needs and our own desires that we don't even think about others. So this morning, my heart is that somehow I want you to be healed in this house. This is my prayer in this house. I want you to be healed physically, but relationally and emotionally. I want you to be healed. I want you to be healthy people in healthy relationships. But I think for us to do that, sometimes we need to see a bigger picture. And so while I was thinking about that, I have a video I want to show. Francis Chan. He's just talking about life. It's about a 4-minute clip here. I just want you to listen to it and think about it in light of how you could serve other people and how relationships that you form could help others. Because it's hard work. Relationships are hard work. But I want you to watch it.
Illustration that this is like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper when it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off? Remember that? I remember getting a roll. Some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But because that was the best, you know, and it never worked right because of the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor and I put that computer paper all the way around the room and but I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope. Okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Okay? Just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that. And you're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all the stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner, just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face Him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're going to do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb. It doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. He goes, I keep my eyes on that finish line, and I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. He goes, I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to face Him. I'm going to come before the judges, and He's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it. And I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me, because I'm going to pass that line well.
Amen. Can you see me now? I think that's one of the most powerful illustrations I've seen about our life. We have an opportunity in our lifetime to live for God, to live for His kingdom, to have an impact. When you see it in light of, right, that little spot, that little part that's our life spans. Like, we don't live for today. We don't just live 70 or 80 years. We live for eternity. And the thing is, everybody does, whether in the presence of God or whether separated from God. And so we have opportunity in our lifetime to make a difference, to really impact our world and our culture. And sometimes we're so concerned about ourselves. We're so concerned about our own stuff, our own feelings, our own rights. And I really just would pray, because the whole idea of being blessed to be a blessing. So we get this life, and I think most of the people in this room are followers of Jesus, And you might stumble a little bit, you might fall a little bit, but your eternity is set, it's settled. But there's so many people we know that their eternity is not settled. Their eternity is not, you know, locked up in Jesus. Their eternity is still, they're far away from God, and probably will live eternity in separation from God. So when we think about relationships, when I think about relationships as a person, as Ralph Tambrinky, the man, I think about them as this is my way I could do something for the kingdom of God. I can lay down my life. I can sacrifice. I can put myself in a secondary place so that others could find Christ. That's how I live. That's what I think. That's our heart as a church. That we sometimes are so worried about our own stuff, our own things, our own pleasure, our own life. We get bothered with people so easy. We get to the place where people reject them, or they reject us, and then we reject them, or however it all goes. And I know this. I know relationships are challenging. I can tell you that. This week, I'm preaching about relationships, and three of the hardest relationship breakdowns I've had in my life came across my path this week, and I had to deal with it. So I get it. I get it's not easy. But I believe in relationships. I believe there's no other way to reach the world than to be authentic in our relationships with each other. I'm like, haven't even looked at my notes yet, so you're in trouble today. Today I want to talk about what God's Word says about relationships. I believe that so many of us live in defeat and loneliness because we have the idea and the attitude that relationships are optional. I look at the world today and I'm so disgusted, really, in so many ways, that people have better animal friends than they have people friends. It bothers me. It's just like disgusting to me. It's like, really? It's a dog. It's a cat. It's not a person. This is like, I'm going to get into this because the Bible really speaks clearly to this issue. But like, we've given up as a culture on people. We've gone nuts. Like, our whole world has gone mad. Like, why does that? Anyway. I believe that relationships are God's plan for our development and our holiness. I don't believe that relationships are just a thing to bring you joy and happiness. They do. Like, I believe that my marriage to Christine, God's more interested in my holiness than my happiness. And God has used Christine in my life to work in me and to help me develop and help me to grow. She's shown me weaknesses. She's shown me bad attitudes. And it's God through her showing me these things. She doesn't sit there and go, Ralph, like, this is where you got to straighten. No, it's because of the relationship I have with her. And by the way, if you want to learn more about this, you need to sign up for the marriage small group starting in September, because this is a lot of what I'm talking about comes out of that learning experience that I had there. And Frank and Marlene are excellent small group leaders. So if you're, you got to sign up. Seriously, sign up. Anyway, so this is what the scripture says. And I believe this is really important for us to hear. It's in John 17, verse 18 to 20. You've heard me quote this many times. Hear it again. Think about the line. Think about the rope. In the same way, Jesus said that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sake so that they'll be truth consecrated in their mission. We have a mission. We're on mission. We're not just floating through life. We have a mission. I'm praying not only for them, but I'm praying for all those who believe in me because of them and their witness about me. That's us. That's you and me. That's who this is talking about. The goal is for all of them to become of one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, so they might be one in heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified and together as we are. God didn't ask us to be unified and didn't give us the power or the glory to get it done. He gave it to us. He said, I've given them your glory so they could actually do this. I've given them what they need to do this. I've given them what they need to accomplish this task. We need to receive just as much as we need to receive, you know, a miracle for our finances or a miracle for our body. We need to receive God's glory so that we can love each other. So we can live together, so we can enjoy God's life that he has for us. And then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and love them in the same way you've loved me. That we could give the godless world evidence. That's our mission, to give them evidence that God loves you and me, but he loves them. How many of you, when we sing that song, that saved a wretch like me? I know in the old days we didn't like saying wretch, but I'm telling you, before I met Jesus, I was a wretch. I was a wretch. I needed the Lord. I needed his redemptive work in my life. I still need his redemptive work in my life. And I'm telling you, most of that gets done through people. I need God to work in me. The idea in this verse is that we're on mission for the cause of Christ. And the best way for us to accomplish that mission is to do our relationships as the body of Christ in a way that would speak for us out on our mission field. I think sometimes as Christians that we spend so much time trying to come up with more ideas to reach people. Reach people. And we go into the mission field and we drag them back into churches and then we live like we don't care. We love like we don't care. And we bring them into sometimes toxic environments as Christians where we don't even care about each other. How could we care about them? And I'm not saying that. I believe we're getting there. I believe we're working. I believe in this. I believe when you come into this house, you should experience the love of God. And you should be able to look around and see that love from one person to another. I believe in that. All my heart. So, a couple of points. Doing life alone is not optional and not good. It's easier, right? People are complicated. How many of you are married and don't find your spouse complicated at times? So, no one's got their hand up. Maybe Paul has his hand up. No, not a hand up. He's scratching. Because everybody is complicated. So I think women are complicated. I'm a guy, right? They say if you can understand a woman, you'll probably be dead, right? You'll be in heaven because then you'll have full understanding. But I think that women probably say the same thing about men. Like we're complicated. It's hard to understand moods. It's hard to understand what a person is going through. It's hard to understand someone's story. It's hard to understand what made them the person they are today. It's easier to do life alone, but it's not good. It's not good to do life alone. It's not an option in the kingdom of God. The Bible has commanded us to love one another. So God wants us to have awesome relationships that build our life and that give us an opportunity to build the lives of others. He wants us to have a healthy and mature attitude toward these relationships, knowing that we will give and we will receive. But we will receive and we will give. It's not going one way. It's not going one way. It can't go one way. It has to be both ways. We have to give. We have to receive. I've seen people walk through horrible, horrible times and serve other people that didn't deserve it. And I've seen God do great things through it. Relationships are great when they're great, but when they're not, it's like the worst, right? So when you're dating and everything's like, oh, you know, I love you. No, I love you. No, you hang up the phone. I can't hang up. No, they don't do that anymore. They text now. Right? But nobody can stop. Everybody's like, oh, it's all love. And everybody writes notes. And guys, you know, brush their teeth and come looking good. And everything is good. They come on time even, right? And then you get married and then people stop trying so hard, right? Relationships are trying. The thing you thought was the most beautiful thing about your spouse when you were dating becomes the most annoying thing once you get married. It's true, because relationships are complicated. They're not easy, but we need to keep at them. We need to keep strong in them. We need to keep working at it. Relationships aren't always great. In fact, many times they're challenging, but they're worth it. They're worth it. They're awesome. Like, so again, you know, like 25 years we're married. 25 years. That's awesome, right? It's like. And I love Christine more than I've ever loved her. And I think she's more awesome today than the day I found her, or she found me and asked me to marry her. No. but we celebrated on Tuesday night. We went to the lake house in Vineland, and we sat out on the patio, and it was a nice night. And, you know, I had a nice steak, and Christine had ribs, and we were just like reminiscing about life, reminiscing about our kids and our family and all the good things that God done over the years. And it was awesome. We had a great night. We didn't even fight. It was great. We got along. It was great. But it's not always great. We don't always get along. Sometimes I hurt her. Sometimes she hurts me. Sometimes I'm like, why did I do this? And other times I'm like, oh, it's so awesome that I did this. Like, you know, but life together, right? So what we celebrated on Tuesday night, though, the way our relationship got richer and stronger was because in the midst of adversity, when things were tough and challenging and hard, we stayed in it. We fought for it. We didn't let the sun go down on our wrath. Maybe once we did, or maybe twice. But like we decided to love each other. When we walked down the aisle on June the 19th, 1993, I looked her in the eyes and said, I do. You know, no matter what. You know, good or bad, ugly, whatever way, we're in this together till death do us part or until you kill me. Like, honestly. But that's the decision we made. And because we made that decision 25 years later, we could sit by the lake and we have a rich wealth of relationship that we have together that's built on not only just fun and games, but on getting through hard times and believing God when things were tough and apologizing when we weren't wrong and laying down our lives for each other. That's how relationships are built. That's what makes strong lives. You can have friends you're just happy with. Ah, let's have fun, right? But like those friends, a lot of them will be gone as soon as things get a little thick and hard. Like it'll be gone. It'll be like. And so as believers, we're called to live in relationship with each other, even through the bad times. Even when someone ticks you off, even when you come into church and you didn't do anything, you say hi to someone and they give you that. Right? And you're like, what? We're together in this. We're together in this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 20, it says, then the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is right for him. The Lord God had formed all the wild animals and all the birds out of the ground. Then he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever he called each creature became its name. So the man named all the domestic animals, all the birds, all the wild animals. But the man found no helper who was right for him. So if your dog is your best friend, it's not right. If your cat is the closest thing you have to a friend, you need to start laying down your life a bit and sacrificing to get in relationship with people. You can like your dog. The Bible said a good man is good to his animals. So you should be good to your animals, but shouldn't be your best friend. It's ridiculous, like honestly. I'm not trying to be mean here, but like it's not biblical. We live biblically. We have to follow the scripture. There was something about man doing life alone that God looked at and said, yeah, that's a bit nasty. He looked at Adam and said, it's not good. This is it. We got to do something about this. So he paraded the animals in front of him and said, no, that's no good either. Right? So then he gave him Eve. And God said, what I put together, let no man take apart. But that was the first relationship that was human-to-human relationship. He gave Adam Eve, and he gave us to each other to do relationship, to do life together, to share together, to care about each other, to stay through it. Because their life went and took a bad turn pretty quick, right? And it wasn't God's fault. It was their fault. They did something really stupid, and then they ended up like in a mess. But they were together in the mess. And we're together in the mess. We live in a mess. The world's crazy, honestly. We're probably a little crazy too. But the world is crazy. he, though, made it pretty clear that human with human is where the friendship should lie. Your animal shouldn't be your best friend. I don't know why I'm saying that over and over again, but if your animal is your best friend, God's talking to you this morning. Repent. Be converted. In 1 John 4, verse 19 to 21, it says, we, though, are going to love. We're going to love and be loved. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. If anyone boasts, I love God, and goes right on hating his brother or sister, thinking nothing of it, he is a liar. If he won't love the person he can see, how can he love the God he can't see? The command we have from Christ is blunt. Loving God includes loving people. You've got to love both. So if you're the person who says, me and Jesus, I'm just going to stay home, I'm going to hang out with Jesus, and we're going to have a good life together. That's wrong too. That doesn't work either biblically. You can't just hang out with God all day. Because if you say you love God and you don't love people, then you're a liar. Repent, turn around, start loving people. It's important. We need to love each other and not just say it. We actually have to love each other. So, relationships cost. There's a big cost to relationship. If it doesn't cost you anything, it probably doesn't have any value to you. That's why relationships that have made it through hard times are stronger than relationships that have just had good times. Because there's value in it. We've seen value in the relationship. This is a scripture that always reminds me, even when I'm standing here at the front worshiping God on a Sunday morning. And believe it or not, sometimes I don't feel like it. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I've had a bad week. Sometimes somebody has given me, you know, some kind of gears out in the foyer that I didn't need that morning. And some mornings I do not feel like worshiping. This is what David said in 2 Samuel 24, verse 23 to 44. There's a plague had fallen across the land, and he came to the threshing floor of Araunah. And Araunah gave it all to the king and said to him, may the Lord your God accept your offering. But the king answered, no, I will pay you for it. I will not offer to the Lord my God sacrifices that have cost me nothing. So when I stand up here to worship on Sunday morning, I'm not going to give God an empty worship. Whether I feel like it or not, it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost me some sweat. It's going to cost me some hard on my voice, hard on my hand, whatever. I'm just going to give my whole heart, my whole soul into worship. The same goes with relationship. If you want a relationship with God, if you want a relationship with people, it's going to cost you something. A relationship with no cost is no relationship. It's not. So relationship is built on sacrifice. It's built on going through it together. It's a powerful thing. It's hard, but it's worth it. The second thing I want to talk about is living in a biblical relationship is different than what you might think. Because a lot of times we think relationships, friendships are disposable. We think that it's easy to just, you know, if we get along good for a while and then we don't get along so good, then we can just let it go. But it's done, right? I know this because it's happened to me over the years. Like I've had a lot of friends and some have been, the relationships have ended hard. And my tendency when a relationship ends hard is to push the relationship away. I remember when I was dating, if I broke up with a girl or she broke up with me, I never wanted to see her again. Bye-bye. Goodbye. We're done. And that was it. Disposable. Like, honestly, I'm just being honest with you, but I think a lot of us in our relationships are like that. But in a relationship that we have as believers, there's more to it. There's more to it. As Christians, we're familiar with the word covenant, but are we really familiar with what a covenant is? Because as Christians, we don't live in just like some kind of like slack environment where we just do what we want. Bibles call us to be covenant people. We have a covenant with God, and we have covenant with each other. I just want to talk about the difference between a covenant, because a lot of times we as believers, as people these days, we treat relationships more like a contract than a covenant. People like enter into the contract of marriage, not into the covenant of marriage. People are think relationships are disposable, but we know that God keeps his covenant with us. But again, as we look at Abraham, we see that God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Everything that we receive, we pass on. Everything that we give, we get. We are a conduit. We keep moving it along the line. We keep passing things through. So here's the two primary differences between a covenant and a contract. Firstly, a covenant assumes responsibility, while a contract limits responsibility. In our relationships with each other, are we trying to limit our relationship, our responsibility in the relationship? Are we trying to just get what we want and not give what we need to give? Are we willing to take responsibility for others? Are we willing to take responsibility for ourselves? What would happen if we started taking responsibility for the people around us and how we relate to them? This is what I do on a regular basis because I love you guys. I care about you. And a lot of you have found this. I'm at some point in a one-month period, I'm either going to connect with you here in the cafe or after church in the sanctuary, or I'm going to get into a little text conversation with you, or I'm going to run into you somewhere on purpose because I want to stay connected to you. I want to be responsible in our relationship. So I know where you are, and I know how I can pray for you. So I know where you are and how I can pray for you. What if we all took that responsibility? What if you, instead of having like 5 or 10 people in the church that would connect with you regularly, you had everybody in the church connecting with you regularly, and you had everybody in the church taking responsibility to make sure that you're doing okay and you're walking with the Lord and you're learning to live a life of sacrifice and service for his kingdom? What could change? What good would that do? It would do an awesome amount of good. What if we took responsibility for our part in the messes? Right? Because a lot of times we get into scuffles with people. We get into challenges with people. And we always are the innocent one. Right? Like, we didn't do it. They did it. Why not take our part in response? I went through a seriously hard time just after my father passed away. I talked about this before, so I'm not going to go into big detail. But a lot of the Christian leaders in my life really, really played a number on me. Like, and I was already hurt because I had lost my dad. And then I felt really betrayed by about 10 really serious Canadian Christian leaders like that were my friends. And for years, I was like, never talking to them. I can't trust those guys. I was just like, I was angry. And then after a while, I was like, well, God said I have to love them. So I don't like them, but I'll love them. I don't like them, but I'll love them. And so after a while, God kept working in my heart. And I started praying for them. And then we had a conference together with the organization I used to be with and then the one that I was with. And God said to me, Ralph, I want you to go apologize to those people. I'm like, really? They did it. I didn't do anything. I didn't do this. They made this mess. I didn't make this mess. Why should I have to say sorry, God? Why? It's not my fault. It's their fault. They should have to come to me and say, they're the leaders. I'm just Pastor Ralph. I'm not important. They should say sorry. They should teach me. And I went to that conference, and I humbled myself. And I apologize for what was my responsibility in the relational breakdown. And God has restored all those relationships to me. And they become such an important part of my life again. I'm just telling you, if we would take responsibility in our relationships, instead of limiting our responsibility like we live in a contract, instead take the responsibility, receive responsibility, and let God work through that, we can change the world. Secondly, the difference between a relationship or a covenant and a contract is a covenant gives up their rights. In a covenant, we give up our rights. In a contract, we protect our rights. If I see anything that really is breaking down relationships everywhere, it's our rights. I've had so many people say this to me when I've been counseling them or when I've been, you know, sharing with people. And men would say this to me, women would say this to me. Well, I don't love him anymore. He doesn't make me happy anymore. She doesn't make me feel fulfilled anymore. Isn't it my right to be happy? Isn't it my right to be fulfilled? Isn't it my right? My right? Not your right. Not your right. I've told people this, and God be my witness. I don't really care if you're happy. I don't really care if you get everything you want in your relationship. I care that you stay faithful in your relationships. I care that you do the hard work of restoring relationship. I care about that. I care about you. I do. I care with all my heart. And if you walk down the road further and that relationship is broken, I'm not going to say, well, I hate you. Go away. Depart from me, you wicked. No, I'm going to love you and care for you, and we're going to keep walking out God's plan in your life. But honestly, God's more concerned about your holiness than your happiness. And if you'll find anything about yourself, you'll find it out in the fire of a relationship, especially marriage. Marriage will identify every weakness in your life. It will identify everything that you've ever tried to hide. And God will work in it and make you a more holy person and better relationship with Him and better relationship with others if you'll allow it. Many people say, I have the right to be angry. I have the right, but that right, I've heard this said and I've said it. Sometimes you're more right. Sometimes you're more wrong being right than you are being right. Sometimes it's, again, taking responsibility for your part in it is loving the person. It's what I say all the time to, you know, like I say this to young men, I say this to older, love the girl. Just love the girl. Care about the girl. Don't put yourself first. Put them first. Care about them more than you care about your. Do that, and they'll take care of you. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes it's hard, but God will work through it. This is a scripture that I've quoted many times, but this is a scripture that's so important to us as believers. If you've gotten anything out of following Christ, it says in Philippians 2, verse 1, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if His love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, can you put your hand up if any of those things have impacted you? If you have gotten anything at all out of following Christ, put up your hand. If His love has made any difference in your life, put up your hand. If being in the community of the Spirit means anything to you, put up your hand. If you have a heart, you better put up your hand, or everybody's going to know you don't. And if you care, then do this. Do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to that advantage or that status no matter what. Does this sound like a covenant or does this sound like a contract? It's caring. It's putting yourself aside and taking care, because this is what relationship is about. It's not easy. It could even open you up to possibility of abuse. But it'll also open you up to possibility of deep and powerful and world-changing relationships. You have to take the chance. You have to care about people. You have to jump in and help when you can. And so many times we read this and we say amen, because that's what we want everybody else to do, right? But this isn't written to anybody else. This is written to you. If you, then you. You, as a person, do that. If you knew, so when we think about relationships, when we think about you know, all that, the abuse that could come from it, the struggles that we have to go through to make them work. The promise we read in John 17 was that if we loved each other, the world would know that God sent his son, Jesus. That there's a bigger potential for people to come to Christ if we would live out this relationship thing well. So to bring it to a personal level, thinking about the rope, thinking about eternity, thinking about the people you love. If you knew that 10 people that you love and are very close to you could come to Christ and spend eternity in heaven because you were willing to eat dirt a bit in a relationship, because you were willing to be the person that put in more, that called more often, that looked after people more, and you knew that if you did that, those people were more likely to come to Christ. I know this about you people because I know your heart. You would do it gladly. God's word is true. He said if we would love each other, the world would know. If we would love each other, then the godless world would be able to see that God loved them. I'm begging you. And I'm not begging you because I think you're horrible people that do this badly. I think you do this really well. But I think it's really important to keep vision and mission out in front of us all the time. I'm begging you to love each other. I'm begging you to look around this room, because there's people in this room that still need love, that still need care, still need someone to walk with them for a while. But I'm begging you to go out there. The Bible said, into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. When's the last time that you've invited someone into a relationship with Christ? When was the last time you even invited someone to church and offered to pick them up? Maybe you're too scared to invite someone into a relationship with Christ, but you could invite them to church. You can invite them to something. You can invite them to the ladies' lunch, or you can invite them out, you know, on a night where it's just not as intimidating as a Sunday morning. But when was the last time? Because if the line really matters, if our life really is going to make a difference, we have this much. We have this much time, and even if we went through a hard time in that time, even if life wasn't perfect for us in that time, but we could make a difference in eternity for others, don't you think it would be worth it? Don't you think that people matter enough to sacrifice for them? Here's what the Bible says in Galatians. But I will never brag about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his cross, this world is dead as far as I'm concerned. And I'm dead as far as the world is concerned. All the pull, all the stuff, as we face the cross of Christ and his love for us, those things should fall away. We should care more about the things that Christ cared about than the things that we find so important. I believe. So this is really kind of a vision Sunday, but this is kind of really, just I want to end with this verse, and I'm going to say amen. And I'm going to quickly pray. This verse is my dream for this church. Psalm 68, verse 3-6. It says, but the righteous are glad and rejoice in his presence. They are happy and shout for joy. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Prepare a way for him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be glad in his presence. God, who lives in his sacred temple, cares for orphans and protects widows. He gives the lonely a home to live in and leads prisoners out into happy freedom. That's what God wants to do in his house. He wants to make a place where orphans and widows are taken care of. Whether that's even just spiritual orphans and widows, but maybe real orphans and widows too. But then also that those that are lonely can find a family. This is what we're about as a church. We want to lead people in a relationship with Jesus, and we want them to have a home, a family, a place to belong, people to care about them. So I believe in this with all my heart. We just need to get involved with what he is doing. As I asked you before, how many of you have been thankful and God's helped you through, you know, your life because of the relationship you're in, because someone else was willing to pour their life into you? I'm just asking you today, be willing to pour your life into others. I believe that God really is. We're living in times that are really difficult relationally for people. I mean, we just need people to know Christ, and we need to let them know us. So, Lord, this morning I just pray, Lord, that what I said, Lord, would, Lord, be your heart. Lord, I really, really want to express your heart this morning. I pray that, Lord, we'll all, Lord, love your people. Lord, that we would love each other. Husbands would love their wives. Parents would love their children. Children would love their parents, Lord. That as friends and, you know, close friends, some of us across this room, Lord, that we would continue to walk in that love. Lord, that we would open up the table so more people could sit at it. Lord, not just have a small club where no one else could fit, but Lord, that we just keep opening it up, making it wider. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, through that, that many people would come to know Christ. Lord, I pray for, Lord, those here today that are lonely. Lord, that this morning they would accept a family. Lord, that they would just, Lord, jump in and that they would receive all the love that you have in this house for them. In Jesus' name. I pray as